Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here. A lot of news we're following this morning. A plane disappearing over the Atlantic Ocean. More about that later on in the program. Also, a big story out of Wichita, Kansas, where an abortion doctor was shot to death yesterday in the foyer of his church as he handed out bulletins. George Tiller was one of a few doctors in the United States who performs abortions late in pregnancy, and police yesterday took into custody a 51-year-old Kansas man who is expected to be charged with murder today. George Tiller should be no stranger to a lot of people who are concerned with the abortion issue around the United States and, say, would have observed the Bill O'Reilly show on the Fox News channel, who referred to Tiller as many as 28 times. Here's one reference.
Tiller himself donated money to her campaign. She doesn't seem to be real upset about this guy operating a death mill, which is exactly what it is in her state, does she?
That's Bill O'Reilly talking about George Tiller allegedly contributing to Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius's campaign. The question really is, was there an environment and an atmosphere of threat surrounding this doctor, and what could explain the fact that he was shot in his church? Not the first time he was shot. Joining us now is Monica Davey, New York Times reporter in Chicago, who has a story about the shooting in today's paper. She's in Chicago. Monica, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
And here in the studio is Eleanor Bader, co-author of the book Targets of Hatred, Anti-Abortion Terrorism. She writes about reproductive health for the OnTheIssues.com website and RHRealityCheck.org. Eleanor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So, Monica, where do we set this into context? Is this an individual act of terrorism, or is it somehow affiliated with a broad set of beliefs that Dr. Tiller was at odds with?
Well, Dr. Tiller certainly was somebody who drew lots of attention and controversy over the years, and there are reports this morning that the person who is a suspect in the case has not yet been charged, was in some ways a member of anti-abortion groups, was someone who had been a member of anti-government groups, and someone who at least was in agreement with that philosophy.
Now, are police saying anything about his specific affiliations, and was there any sort of security detail that either Dr. Tiller had asked for or that law enforcement authorities had suggested in this particular case?
Police are still looking at what affiliations this man had. In terms of security, again, over time, Dr. Tiller had many different types of security measures, mainly because he had been attacked before. You know, he had been shot in both arms at one point and had had his clinic firebombed. So he certainly was, this was nothing new to him in a way. As I understand it, there was not even a security camera inside the church.
Eleanor Bader, what do you think this says about the atmosphere for this kind of violence here a few months after the inauguration of Barack Obama?
Well, first, I think that the point I want to make is that in a survey that was done in 2008 by the Feminist Majority, they found that 20% of clinics report that they had themselves experienced severe violence, blockades, stalking, invasions, all kinds of really heinous anti-abortion activity. But once Obama won the election, the anti-abortionists really ramped up their rhetoric. And there's been an increased presence outside clinics throughout the country. Even clinics that had previously seen one or two protesters on Saturday were suddenly seeing 15 or 20 or 50 screaming their guts out and jumping into cars.
Eleanor, how important is it for us to distinguish between free speech domain kinds of protests, harassment of individuals who are using clinics, and the kinds of brutal violence that's characterized by this shooting over the weekend?
Look, I think the pro-choice movement has always been really clear that the anti-abortionists certainly have the right to express their opinions. When they stand outside clinic doors, they blockade entrances. They jump in Pittsburgh. They were jumping into patients' cars to try to scream at the woman in the car, "Don't kill your baby. You're a murderer." I was just a few weeks ago in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is one of the hot spots in the U.S., and the anti-abortionists there were literally screaming at one guy who was wearing a yarmulke, you know, "You're as bad as the Nazis. You're a Nazi."
But isn't it wrong to characterize even that aggressive behavior as in league with this individual who killed Dr. Tiller?
The rhetoric ramps up those people who are inclined to violence. When they hear over and over and over again that you're a murderer, you're a killer, you're a Nazi, you're a baby killer, you're a horrible person who is a sinner, those people who are, have a propensity to take literally those words tend to act on what they've heard.
Monica Davey, you heard the clip that we played from the O'Reilly Factor talking specifically about Dr. Tiller and referring to his practice as a death mill, I believe I'm quoting there. Does that change the context at which you approach this story in terms of what you're looking for, avenues of creating an atmosphere of violence, particularly against him?
It certainly doesn't change the way I approach the story. I think it's there's no question that this is a complicated story in a way to approach, and I have received hundreds of emails from the story. So certainly people are so divided over this issue. This is not a simple killing. People have really strong feelings about it. And in fact, I've been interested to see how the anti-abortion groups have responded to this. They're in a complicated position. On the one hand, they did find Dr. Tiller to be someone who was performing abortions in the second and third trimester. They found him to be despicable and wrong. On the other hand, they have mostly condemned this killing.
Well, what are we to look for in distinguishing between the condoning of an all-out war against people like Dr. Tiller and an active attempt on the part of abortion groups on both sides to distance themselves from this kind of violence? Monica, you first, and then Eleanor.
Well, I think that is the complicated thing, is to distinguish between those two. I mean, yeah, where is the line? I think that's the difficult question. And in fact, the suspect in this case, you know, is someone who some in the anti-abortion community, you know, they talked to him, they knew him. What's the difference between?
Eleanor Bader, at a moment when Barack Obama has suggested that with the nomination of Sotomayor as the nominee and the discussion not of abortion in her confirmation, but of something like affirmative action and other issues, identity politics, at a moment when there is a suspicion that at least at the national level, we're moving beyond the traditional debate over abortion, do you think Americans should believe we're more likely to be at war over this issue in the months and weeks ahead or less after what happened over the weekend?
You know, I've always hated the rhetoric of the abortion war, but when people start getting shot, and this is the seventh murder since the early 90s, it clearly has the hallmarks of war. So I think that the rhetoric is probably going to get ramped up on both sides, and I think that it's an issue. We can't shy away from the fact that it's a really important issue, and we really need to figure out a way to talk about how we can disagree with each other in civil ways and not resort to shooting people while they're in church.
Indeed. Monica Davey, New York Times reporter in Chicago, joined us by phone, and Eleanor Bader here in the studio, co-author of the book Targets of Hatred, Anti-Abortion Terrorism. Monica is a reporter for the New York Times. Thanks to you both.